Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are opening up a stack of resources that are essentially the developer's survival guide.
That's a great way to put it.
It's all material designed for ICT clubs, but honestly, this is for anyone who's ever had that light bulb moment and thought, I should build an app for that.
It's a very specific kind of excitement, isn't it? You see a problem and your brain just, you know, it jumps straight to the solution.
Oh, absolutely. You start picturing the buttons, the interface, maybe even the color scheme.
You're visualizing the database before you've even stood up.
Exactly. And that excitement, it feels like the most important part. But, and this is the big theme today, that excitement is actually a trap.
It is a massive trap. It's what we could call the builder's fallacy.
The builder's fallacy. I like that.
It's this idea that, you know, if you build it, they will come. But the reality is you can build the most beautiful bug-free code in the world.
Right.
And you can still fail completely if you haven't answered one simple question. Does anyone actually care?
Oof, that is the harsh truth we are unpacking today. And the mission of this deep dive is really to stop you from wasting your time.
Yes.
We want to help students, especially in the Ugandan ICT clubs, move from just knowing how to build something to understanding what to build and, more importantly, why.
Precisely. And the hero of our story today is a concept that, let's be honest, usually sounds incredibly boring.
Market research.
Market research.
I have to admit, it just sounds like homework. It sounds like something you do with a clipboard. It doesn't sound like hacking or innovation.
I know, it's got a serious branding problem.
Yeah.
So let's reframe it. Think of it as detective work. Or maybe even risk management. It's basically the antidote to guessing.
Okay, let's talk about guessing. Because I think most of us assume we already know what the problem is.
That's the core of it.
Yeah.
You start with a pile of assumptions.
Yeah.
You assume you know the problem. You assume you know who has it.
And you assume they want your specific solution for it.
Exactly. Market research is just the process of proving those assumptions right, or more often proving them wrong, before you spend 3 months writing code.
So it's about saving time.
It's about saving your project's life.
All right, so let's get into the first pillar of this research, the target market. The sources are so clear about this. They say the biggest mistake is building for everyone.
Yes. If I had a shilling for every time a student said their target market was everyone, I'd be a very wealthy man.
But let me play devil's advocate here. If I build, say, a game, isn't everyone a potential user?
Potentially, sure. But practically, no way. Everyone is way too broad to design for. If you try to build something for a 7-year-old and an 80-year-old, you end up with a mess that pleases nobody.
So you need a focus.
You need a beachhead. A specific group of people who feel this problem acutely right now.
Okay, so how do we narrow down? If I'm a student in an ICT club in Kampala, how do I start to profile my user?
You have to get specific. Ask some basic questions first. Age, location.
Mm-hmm.
But then you dig into the technical side. What language do they speak? And maybe the most important one for this context, what device is actually in their pocket?
That's a huge one. So many tutorials online assume everyone has, like, the latest iPhone with unlimited data.
But that's not the reality on the ground, is it? Your target user might be a farmer with a feature phone. Or a fellow student with an older Android, maybe a cracked screen, very little storage.
And they're probably using small daily data bundles.
Precisely. So if you build a giant 200 megabyte app that needs a constant connection to work, you haven't just built a bad product. You've built an inaccessible one. You've locked out your own users.
So the hardware really dictates the software.
Every single time. Let's use the school timetable example from the guide. It's a classic starter project.
Okay, so the problem is simple. I keep losing my paper timetable, or I just forget what class is next.
Right, so who is the target market?
My fellow students.
Good. Now, go deeper. Do these students have data running 24/7?
No, probably not. They're on the school Wi-Fi when it works, or they're buying small bundles for WhatsApp.
So, if your timetable app needs internet every single time you open it.
It fails. It has to work offline. The data needs to be on the phone itself.
There you go. The constraint just made a technical decision for you. If you hadn't asked, you might have built a web app that no one could use half the time.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Okay, now what about the competition?
Who is the competitor for a timetable app?
I guess. Maybe Google Calendar, other apps like that.
Those are indirect. But the real competitor in a school...
The piece of paper on the wall.
The piece of paper on the wall. And paper is tough to beat.
It doesn't need batteries. It doesn't crash.
It's free. So your app has to offer something significantly better, a real value proposition.
Which would be. Well, it's in your pocket. Portability.
Portability is key.
Yeah.
But also, maybe notifications. Hey, math class starts in 10 minutes. Paper can't do that. That's your edge.
Okay, so now we have a theory. How do we confirm it? The guide says to go interview users, but I feel like this is where people cheat. They just ask their best friend, hey, is this cool?
And the friend always says, yeah, it's amazing. Because they're your friend.
Exactly.
That's the false positive trap. You have to get out of the computer lab and talk to people who don't care about your feelings.
That sounds terrifying.
It is, but it's where the truth is. You need a notebook, and you need to ask about past behavior. Don't ask, would you use my app? Ask, when was the last time you missed a class because you didn't know the schedule?
I see. Because if they say, never, then...
Then you don't have a problem to solve. Yeah. You just saved yourself a month of coding. You also ask, how are you solving this now?
Which leads right into competitor research. And this part really clicked for me. A competitor isn't just another app. It's any alternative.
Exactly. Let's take the school note sharing example. Mm. Problem. Students are sick. They miss notes. You want to build an app for it. Who's the competitor?
WhatsApp. Every class has a WhatsApp group. It's the default.
Correct. And WhatsApp is a monster competitor. It's free. It's installed. Everyone uses it. So if you just build a chat app for notes, you lose.
So you have to find the gap, the thing WhatsApp is bad at.
Exactly. What's it like finding notes in a class WhatsApp group?
A total nightmare. It's a blurry photo from 3 weeks ago, buried under 500 memes and football arguments. You can't search for anything.
Bingo. Yeah. That's the gap. The weakness is organization. So your app shouldn't be about chatting. It should be a library.
So the features would be things like categorized by subject, searchable, downloadable PDFs.
You're not building WhatsApp for schools. You're building the anti-chaos machine.
The anti-chaos machine. I love that. Okay, let's try one more. The school fees saving app.
Okay. Problem. Students or parents struggle to save, or they spend the money before the term starts.
Competitor.
Well, cash or mobile money.
Right.
But also, the Rolex stand.
The Rolex stand.
I'm serious. The competitor is the temptation to spend. It's buying snacks. It's buying airtime. So the gap isn't just about storing money. The gap is about discipline. Goal visualization.
So the app needs to show progress. You are 50% of the way to paying your fees. It's more of a psychological tool.
That's it, exactly. It's about understanding the human behavior behind the problem.
Okay. Now let's apply this to something with higher stakes. The guide has a case study on a farming advice app. This feels huge for Uganda.
It is. Agriculture is everything. But it's also a graveyard for failed apps because developers don't understand the context.
Okay, let's run the framework. Target market, farmers.
Right. Now profile them. Likely rural, connectivity issues, different levels of literacy.
And the problem is timely information.
Ah.
Pests, weather, prices. The competitors are.
Radio. The local radio station.
Mm.
Or the agriculture officer who visits maybe once a month.
Radio is tough. It's passive. It's in the local language you don't need to read, but it has a weakness. It's temporary. If you miss the 2 p.m. broadcast because you're in the field, it's gone. You can't rewind the radio.
So the gap is on-demand access.
Yes. But, and this is the crucial research insight, if you build a text-based app in English about coffee wilt disease, you failed.
Because of the literacy and language barrier?
And the interface barrier. Trying to use a touchscreen with dirty hands in the sun, forget it.
So the research dictates the features. What do you build?
It has to be voice first. It needs to speak in Luganda or Runyankole. It needs big buttons with icons, not text menus.
That's a massive pivot. The research just told you to build an audio player, not a text scraper. You're building a completely different product because you understood the user.
You move from guessing to knowing.
Exactly.
Let's do one last quick one. The Boda safety app.
A daily reality for so many people.
Problem is trust. I get on a Boda, I have no idea if the guy is legit.
And the competitor is blind faith. You just hope for the best.
Blind faith is a terrible safety feature.
It is. So the gap here is verification. The app isn't just about hailing a ride. It's about seeing a profile. This rider has 500 safe trips.
It may be a share my ride feature so someone knows where you are.
Exactly. Peace of mind is the product. The ride is just the utility.
Okay, so we've done the detective work. We know who we're building for. Now we have to actually build it. The guide lists a software stack.
Yes, and it splits it into beginner and advanced, which is smart.
For beginners, it lists things like MIT App Inventor, block-based coding. I have to ask, is that real coding? I feel like some students might look down on it.
That's a common insecurity, but it's totally misplaced. Real coding is logic. It's loops, conditionals, variables. Block-based tools just handle the syntax for you so you can focus on the logic.
So it's good for prototyping.
It's incredible for prototyping. You could build that timetable app in an afternoon with MIT App Inventor. If you tried to do it in Java as a beginner, you'd spend 3 days just setting up the environment.
And speed matters here because you want to get back to the user fast.
Yes. The goal is an MVP, a minimum viable product. Build the simplest version that works and get it into a user's hand.
The guide has a workflow for this. Let's use the School Notes idea.
Okay. Step one, pick your tool. Say App Inventor. Step two, build a basic interface. A list, a button. Don't make it fancy.
Step three, content. You need the actual notes scanned as PDFs. You can't just build an empty shell.
That's a great point. And step four is the one everyone skips. Test with students.
And not just by sending the file to the WhatsApp group.
No. You hand your phone to someone, you stand behind them, and you shut up.
Don't tell them where to click.
Zip it. If they can't figure it out in 10 seconds, your design failed. That is the most valuable data you will ever get.
That's humbling.
Development is a humbling process, but that's how you make something great. And step five is iterate. You fix what was broken, and you do it again.
It's a loop. Research, build, test, learn, repeat.
Over and over.
Okay, so that brings us to the practical part. The guide ends with a class activity, a challenge for everyone listening.
Yes, we don't want you to just listen. We want you to act.
So here is your assignment. Before you write a single line of code, get a piece of paper, a one-pager.
Just one page, five bullet points. Number one, the problem. What's actually broken?
Number two, the target market. Be specific, not everyone.
Number three, the competitors. How are they solving it now?
Oh, no.
Remember, paper is a competitor. Apathy is a competitor.
Number four, requirements. What do you need to build it? And number five, the roadmap. What are the first few steps?
It's a logic plan. It forces you to think through the why before you get lost in the how.
You know, this whole process, it makes me realize that the actual coding is, what, maybe 20% of what makes an app successful?
At most. 40% is understanding the problem, and the other 40 is execution and just getting it to people.
We have so much coding talent in Uganda. We just need to aim it at the right problems.
The messy, real problems in our communities.
Exactly. Innovation isn't about using the newest, shiniest technology. It's about solving a problem so well that people can't imagine going back to the old way. So look around you, the library, the market, the health center. Ask yourself,
what is the friction here? That friction is your opportunity.
So to wrap this all up, the golden rule of this deep dive is
research first, build later. Market research isn't an obstacle. It's a lens that focuses your creativity on the right target.
It's the difference between building a toy and building a tool.
Well said.
I want to leave you with one final thought to chew on. We talked about listening to users, but there's that famous quote, probably misattributed to Henry Ford, that says, if I had asked people what they wanted, they would have said faster horses.
A classic.
So here is the tension. You have to listen to users to understand their problems, but you shouldn't expect them to design the solution.
That's the perfect distinction.
They know they want to get to town faster. That's the problem. It's your job as the innovator to invent the car.
Don't outsource the innovation, but absolutely do outsource the problem identification.
Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive. Good luck with your projects. Get out of the building and go talk to some strangers.
Happy building.